B-Pod Studios.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, 902, the Town Fair Tire Studio. Joe Murray here in studio, and Rob Gronkowski now returning to the NFL. Joe Murray thinks he's been a failure outside of the NFL. I think that it's just he returned and all that stuff. He got a million offers. They seem to like him at all of them, and the ratings seem to say that he did okay, so I would call that not really a failure. It doesn't mean that he was good and that it was good, but it was. It did seem like people watched what he was doing, and I guess that would be a success in my opinion. But one thing that I do find hysterical here, Joe, is that, you know, that you talked about wrestling and his foray into that. There was a report that came out, and I guess this started way back when WrestleMania happened, which was in April now. But everything has been jumbled together over the last, like, several months. It was, like, the second week of April, right? So, is that right, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you know what Fightful is? Is that a insider wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Reputable?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Okay. Well, Fightful had a report that said that Rob Gronkowski was so terrified to perform a stunt, the one where he dove off a platform under a group of wrestlers, the one where he won the title, right, the 24/7 title?
Right. That's right.
He was so terrified that Vince McMahon, the chairman, who's 74 years old, executed the move himself to prove that it was safe. The scene apparently was a did-that-just-happen reaction from all of those who witnessed it. And so now we're learning a little bit more of the fallout. They said that, quote, even of those with a reputation in wrestling of being easy, helpful, and good to work with, all had negative things to say about working with Rob Gronkowski. They said Rob Gronkowski's hesitance reportedly put WWE's WrestleMania filming 2 hours behind schedule, with one top name calling the 31-year-old a effing clown who we are so much better off without. It says, perhaps this shouldn't come as a surprise. While Gronkowski is both athletic and charismatic, his general goofiness is much more charming when it's not scripted. He seemed like a fish out of water while on screen with the WWE, and it's easy to see how his shtick could rock the boat in the locker room if he's also complicating matters behind the scenes. Now, is that true? Have you heard this, that they are not very happy with they were not very happy with his time with the WWE?
He was a clown. How many takes did it do to start WrestleMania? I mean, yeah, listen, this is... I mean, everyone, and by the way, in WWE is under a lot of pressure right now in general. So, you know, with everything happening with the virus and you know, no fans and going on, and there are people who didn't want to even show up for this. Like, it's very tense in general, but then you throw out this guy, right, who has no experience whatsoever, doesn't want to do anything, takes hours to tape. Like, yeah, this was a fail, Rich. A fail. Rob Gronkowski failed. He retired, thought he was going to be do something well. He didn't do anything well. That's why he's coming back to football. That's exactly why he's coming back. It's not because of Tom Brady or any of that stuff. He failed at what he did. He might have made money, but he failed. And everyone always talked about it. He could be in movies. He could do this. He could do that. Gronk did not do well as retired. He did not do well. And he failed at something that was scripted, that they could have made him a star.
He was constantly working. How is that a failure?
I think he was
failure is coming out and if failure saying, I'm here, guys, who wants me? And then just cricket.
Yeah, it was Rocky Balboa and Rocky II trying to do commercials, and it didn't work. That's exactly it.
That's a great comparison.
But according to John, the ratings are good with the stuff he's been doing. I mean, listen, just because I think people like the fact that he's unpolished. Hey, listen,
hold on. Will you admit that act gets old quick?
When they try to script him, yes.
All right. Week one of Game On of 4.53 million viewers. How many more shows is it going to take before the ratings dip by at least half, if not three quarters?
Oh, I mean, one episode.
All right. So
I'd like to see last night's episode.
That's my point. He's working now because everything he's doing is new. You're telling me that this is going to be sustainable?
I mean, who knows if it's going to be sustainable? All I know is that it hasn't
been a
failure.
I agree with Joe. I think I know, and the answer is no, it's not. He needs to play football.
Well, this Game On show that he's on is just, it's a thing to behold. Because I've never seen something that didn't have a producer step in and just went, too much. and just said, dude, we got to turn down some stuff here. This show has the subtlety of an Oompah band in an airplane hangar while like a 747 is taking off. I want you to just listen to the way the show starts. Like just the intro of Rob Gronkowski.
He is Rob Gronkowski! From Mad TV and Splitting Up Together, it is Bobby Lee!
I mean, if you're not already hit in the face with a hammer by a clown at that point, then you are asking for it, because the energy and the volume does not go down. The entire show, it's like, it's almost as if the producers watched every segment in like 2 minute segments and be like, okay, good, thank God. But when you put them all together, it's like seeing Slipknot in concert, and they're just playing their heaviest song over and over and over. Even metal bands know that you got to have one song that's got like a slow intro to bring you back down so it'll ramp you back up. I mean, it is like, I can imagine, like, if you took a speedball, the moment it hits your blood, it's the Game On show.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah!
By the way, another failure, Ronda Rousey. Another failure that didn't work out. Blew her career in UFC, got kicked in the head by Holly Holm, and then tried WWE, and it didn't work out for her. And where's she been the last year? Doing this stupid show that nobody cares about.
Joe and
failure.
I had a conversation about Ronda Rousey yesterday. I have not seen him that animated. He actually stood up from his chair when we talked about this. He was not happy about Ronda Rousey in the WWE.
Well, see, here's the difference between Gronk and Ronda Rousey. Nobody liked Ronda Rousey's personality. Like, people love Rob Gronkowski. People like that he's like, you know, this big, you know, party man, oaf. But when he was, admit that when he was on the NFL and he was on Fox and he was talking, that it was interesting. That you wanted to hear what he had
to
say.
Tommy, it was like, what's his name? Chris Farley and like, Paul McCartney. Like, that's what it was like for me. Yeah, you know, football's cool. Oh, yeah, you know, he works hard.
Yeah, and it was great. It was great.
Yeah, you
because it was different.
You loved it.
Bet your ass I did.
Yeah. Him sitting next to Tony Gonzalez. And Gonzalez is like, who's better, Tony Gonzalez or Rob Gronkowski? Like, he's just like, I don't know. He's just a goof. You're like the greatest tight end of all time. You can't act. You suck.
There's enough guys with, well, of course you can't act. That's why it's great. There are enough dummies who sit up there and just have a polished opinion. I want Rob Gronkowski who forgets to use the word the. I want unpolished, and I don't want scripted Rob Gronkowski, because to be quite honest, I get nervous for him. Like, it's like, oh man, when's he going to stumble? When's he going to fall? When's he going to choke on like a one syllable word? Please don't do that.
Rich,
but when he's
up, hold on. Here's the problem with this segment. You can be lousy at the NFL. You can be lousy at acting. But if you're lousy at wrestling, that's what hits close to home. So, and that is why he is flipped out here in studio.
It's scripted.
It's wrestling.
They tell you what to
the
do.
The fact that he has tampered with Joe's baby is really what's gotten him here in this segment.
Somebody just tweeted me and said, are you a simple man, Rich? Yes. Yes. Have you not heard the things that I enjoy? The Fast and the Furious, movies with explosions.
We need more farts.
Metal. Like, dude, I'm
going to arrange that. That's easy.
I'm as extremely simple. What have you learned over these years about me? I'm adult. I'm a simpleton, and I like things that are loud and explode. That is who I am. However, even for me, this show is too much. Like, listen to this. Like, this, they came back from a commercial and they said they're going to have a brand new game. And this is just, I mean, this is what we got, to the point where my wife came in and said, what's going on TV? Like, she thought that I had the news on. She's like, well, what's going on? Like, she thought that someone was in pain. Listen to this segment from last night's Game On show.
Let's have a Game On grunt off.
Yeah!
So one by one, I'm going to measure each of your tennis grunts. All right, here we go. You ready?
All right.
Action.
Yeah!
Next up is Ian. Okay, grunt. Venus.
Come on!
Danny, you want to give it a go?
Yeah, I got you. Levotics, let me hear your scream!
All right. It's the TV equivalent of being attacked by a Bengal tiger while huffing paint. This show is just, it does not stop, and it is violent towards you. And even me, it's too much. And like next week, it was like, and here we, I'm not even going to play it for you because it was just so obscene. It goes, next week, it's James Corden! And James Corden goes, you know, shaking like he's getting electrocuted, and like, hey, James! And they're speaking in fake British. And all of a sudden, like, I'm expecting at any moment just someone to come in and punch him in the nuts, punch him in the face, and everyone go, like the end of Cannonball Run where they're all punching around Dom DeLuise. And then all of a sudden a meteor hits them and they're laughing as their flesh burns off their body. It is the most over-the-top, utterly ridiculous, like, just, you have to take a breath afterwards. And I just want, like, Calgon, take me away after the show is done. You have to press pause and go, what are they thinking? And how is no one stepping in and calming everyone down for a moment and giving them a hug and going, please stop screaming. Please. For the love of all things that holy.
How many episodes? Gronk, how many episodes of this?
Gronk, I just want to tell you something. Joe Murray thinks you're a failure because you ruined his wrestling.
That's it.
Please don't scream.
You're a great football player, but you suck at everything else.
So you're out? You're out?
I've been out on Gronk for a while, actually.
Oh, I see.
You know, he cut that
ever since he left the team. That's when you're such a fake fan. You're a fake fan.
You loved
his shenanigans when he was a Patriot. And the minute he left, all of a sudden, all the things that you loved about him, now you're saying you hate about him.
He's been stuffed in my face, and he stinks at everything. Masked Singer. Oh, I need to know that Gronk sings. I don't need to know this stuff about Gronk. You know what? The Gronk party that you love so much. Was that a success? The Gronk Super Bowl party that he was charging?
Yes, because it got Bill Belichick to show up in like
little shorts. But he's done he's done everything once. He's already done everything once. You're telling me if he doubles back and does it again, the joke isn't going to get old?
Hell no. I'm team ride or die with Gronk.
No, I'm team Murray on this one, man. Yeah, seriously.
Like when he retires, right? Like, the weed thing, I'm in. I mean, well, granted, it's not really my kind of weed, but whatever. All I'm saying is like, when he's done, he's done. He's done. Once football's on, like, that's all he's got, because it's not wrestling, and it's not definitely not acting. Game shows? Sure. Nickelodeon, Double Dare?
Crashly.
That's the show.
He's been a failure. Honestly, admit it.
Yep. He's been a failure to you ever since he wasn't a Patriot anymore.
Nope.
If Gronk hadn't done wrestling, you wouldn't get this visceral reaction. But he did, and he ruined a couple of events for Joe, and here we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He jumped off some stupid thing at WrestleMania on a bunch of people and won a belt, and then all of a sudden turned heel? Like, Gronk a heel? That doesn't work. He's a face.
Young
He's
Jedi,
not a heel.
I can feel your anger rising.
He always broke kayfabe anyways.
He broke the kayfabe. So he said Gronk should join the military since he's doing everything once. Oh, man. Joe Murray. You just can't live with the fact that all the things that you loved about him, you now hate now that he's not a Patriot. So that's cool. Just, you know, admit it. That's all I ask.
Saying he sucks. Okay. Like, you know, next year, if he catches 13 touchdowns, I'll be like, that guy's the man at football.
No, you're going to be pissed. Sucks. You're going to hate him even more.
No,
because he's not doing it for your team. Dude, that's why.
Quick story. When the match happened, I was out on Brady's, throwing everything in our face. Dude hits a putt, and I fist pump by myself, like, yes, and I'm rooting for them to win. So I feel like I'll always be that way when it comes to Brady. Gronk, I actually root for him, and I'm rooting for the Bucks. Like, that's something I'm rooting for. Him in wrestling, out! Out!
Well, it seems like he is. And by the way, to your point, I did watch him getting the title taken away from him, and that was the most phoned-in, throwaway topic. Like, as soon as it was done, they hardly even referenced it anymore. It was just like, all right, we got to get this over with, technically. You know, just a technicality. He's got to give up the title. And it was just done, and they're like, oh, yep, so that happened. All right, back to this match. Like, all right, that seemed like like a weird way to end Rob Gronkowski's wrestling career. Well, maybe it's not over indeed, because he was not a failure. He was a massive success. All right, 617. Someone said Gronk's life is turning into the Ernest movie series. It's always been. It's always like, right, Ernest goes to a game show. Ernest goes to wrestling. I would say that the life of Jim Varney and Rob Gronkowski's have seemed to be parallel at this point. All right, 617-779-0985. We've got to call the hot take police on somebody. We'll do that next. A5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Joe Murray here in studio with us. And unfortunately, it has to be done every once in a while. It gets too hot around here, and you got to put out the flame.
Hot take police.
Hot take police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
And this comes from a multiple offender. Someone who I actually really like, because he knows what he's doing and he knows it's going to piss certain people off. And to be quite honest, he's got a gift when it comes to doing things like this. Yesterday, Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News, good friend of Burt Breer, so if you want to yell at Burt Breer about that, you can do that. But we love Manish. We have him on regularly to defend his opinions because they are pretty funny. And yesterday he put a tweet that said, "Worst kept secret in Foxborough. Bill Belichick would love to coach Sam Darnold to keep the Patriots dynasty going." And of course, from that, immediately everyone just started, "Ah, what are you doing?" And to be honest, unfortunately, the hot take itself just kind of died there, because you click on the article itself and nothing he said was quite as funny as that. Like, that's like the worst kept secret. And of course, I saw these writers trying to defend it, like Tommy Curran, like, "Worst kept secret. How about it's the best kept secret, because I've never heard that before in my life. Honestly, I've never heard this." And of course, I mean, that's, I'm sure he hasn't gone around and told everybody about this. Ernie Adams sure as hell isn't leaking it. But he said, "Who has the worst?" He was doing a mailbag. You click on the link on that. Okay, wow. So he knows that Bill Belichick really wants Sam Darnold? Juicy. And then you click on it, and here's what you get. It's a mailbag situation. "Who has the worst quarterback situation in the AFC East? The Jets or the Patriots?" He said, "I'm taking Sam Darnold over Jarrett Stidham every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Dig up Wonder Woman to lasso the truth out of Bill Belichick, too. The greatest head coach of this generation will come clean and admit that he'd love to have Darnold to continue the evil empire's reign. Instead, he'll use this season to evaluate whether Stidham is good enough to answer the question in the wake of Tom Brady's departure." He said, "Backups Joe Flacco and Brian Hoyer are comparable with one caveat. It's unclear." And they just talked about how he would rather have Joe Flacco and Sam Darnold than Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. See, that part of it isn't even controversial. Like, that's just someone's right. opinion. And to be quite honest, I mean, you could argue that Sam sure Darnold's the disagree. Best quarterback sure in the AFC East right now. There's no question. I mean, put it this way. We know something stinks up in Buffalo. We know that has potential to be really bad. He could be okay if you listen to some people who seem to like the guy and he has potential, blah, 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 blah. We know Sam Darnold's pretty good. He's been poised under pressure. He bounced back a decent amount after the whole boogeyman seeing ghost thing. And we also know what Fitzpatrick is. One day he seems like he's Joe Montana, and one day he's Jameis Winston. Right. I mean, it just depends on what day of the week it is and what streak he's on. We don't know anything other than college tape about Jarrett Stidham. And what have we learned about college tape, unless you're like the first pick in the draft? What have we learned about that?
Doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
Not really.
At some point, you can see that a guy's got raw talent, but until they're actually in the NFL, and they all say this, the speed of the game is so ridiculously different that you just don't know. So that part of it being controversial is obviously not anything that anyone will be able to argue with, but I just love the fact that he came right out and said it's the worst kept secret in Foxborough, that Bill Belichick apparently would love Sam Darnold to keep the dynasty going. But you said this morning, Joe Murray, that the Bills have now moved up ahead of the Patriots, according to Vegas, right?
That's right. Actually, the odds, according to Bravada, Bills plus 120, Patriots 140. And I just wanted to throw this out here, too. There was a few bets out there about teams to make the playoffs. The Patriots to not make the playoffs are plus 125, which I thought were very interesting. And then the Jets to make the playoffs, plus 330.
The Patriots to not make the playoffs are plus 125.
What does that mean? What percentage?
$100 will give you 125.
What is that? That's
kind of like a 50-50, man.
Oh, but it's almost 50-50.
It went from 9.5 to like 8.5. That's the win total.
But it rose before it dipped back down, exactly. Correct? So what does that mean?
So it means money's coming in on Buffalo and other
teams. Why, I guess, is my point.
Maybe because the Patriots, maybe the closer it gets to the season, and the quarterback situation, maybe people are...
We haven't seen anybody yet.
No, I'm just saying.
Same blank slate as we had last month.
We had a draft, too, and I don't know. Now there's only going to be training camps. So, I mean, I don't know. The way I look at it, I think more money's coming in on the Bills. People think the Bills are like the darlings.
But that's weird. I mean, the Bills added Jake Fromm. I mean, that...
We're just talking quarterback. Their defense improved.
Stephon Diggs.
Again, it's the same quarterback throwing the football to Stephon Diggs.
I think they're going to be good, but I just
don't understand how many times it fluctuates so much.
Just, you still have Bill Belichick, and you still have the best secondary in the game, and you still have a great culture there. They all seem to support Jared Stidham. Listen, it could all get blown up at the beginning if everyone craps themselves, you know, in the first 2 months of the season.
Just real quick, I think that plus 125 is to get you to bet them to not make the playoffs. Like, that's kind of like a root against the Patriots kind of thing there. Mm-hmm. And now with the expanded playoffs and the fact that they've dominated the East over the last few years, like, I think the Patriots do make the playoffs. I think they win the division to make the playoffs, but they could also not win the division and still make the playoffs.
Sure.
Expanded playoff. And
as
this
a
is
seven,
like
as a seven seed, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling that what you're seeing is people once again putting too much faith in the Bills. I think the Bills are a very good team, and I think this is a great year, and Bill Belichick is going to completely relish the fact that he is now, for the first time in a long time, he being the underdog, like, and being underrated. The fact that they're immediately getting written off as not making the playoffs, you don't think that Bill Belichick loves hearing that?
I think he loves hearing it, but just back to the quarterbacks in the division, like, the Patriots just have Hoyer and Stidham. Stidham, we've seen nothing about it at the pro level. Hoyer has been the worst playoff quarterback in history.
Yeah, Hoyer's awful. Yeah, he's awful.
And then they have two kids. Lewerke, he was terrible at Michigan State, and then, you know, they got his kid Smith.
Jamar.
So, like, you don't even know anything about them. At least Jake Fromm played in the SEC, went to back-to-back national championship games. The kid Barkley's been pretty good. He's been hanging around as a backup. So, like, if Allen fails, Darnold, they drafted the kid Morgan from Virginia. So, like, I think he'll be okay. So, I mean, the way I look at it is, like, I look at all the teams in the East, Tua, Fitzpatrick, Rosen, like, the Patriots might have the worst quarterback tandem in the whole AFC
maybe.
East.
Maybe. But they could also.
There's no maybe. They do. Depending
upon what Stidham is, as we sit here right now, you have an argument. Now, talk to me again after we get through September.
No, yeah. As I said, it's been more that we've seen what he's done with quarterbacks who aren't Tom Brady, you know, since Matt Castle. He's got Belichick's got a really good record. Yeah. And if the fact that they didn't seem to budge when it came to making moves, drafting guys, anything, they sent a clear message that Stidham is their guy. And to be quite honest, as a Patriots fan, that makes you feel pretty good. Because if they would have brought in someone like Cam Newton, wouldn't that have made you a little nervous about what they thought of Stidham?
Exactly.
Yes, of course it would have. And I don't know whether that is a psychological thing and they're doing that on purpose just to make him feel confident. But all I know is that this is a team that isn't known for not being prepared for disaster. And right now, they've got a situation where they got a dude who's unproven and a guy that sucks. So they better have faith in how good he is. They must be seeing something amazing out of that guy to go into the season the way that they are. Because I think we all agree, unlike some people are predicting, they're not going to throw the season because Bill Belichick doesn't do that. Especially you have enough talent where you couldn't throw the season anyway. You would kind of be somewhere in the middle of the pack even if you had a legitimately bad quarterback. Like if Brian Hoyer was your quarterback, you're still not near the bottom of the pack enough to get Taylor Lawrence. Like, there's no
Trevor
way
Lawrence.
You're going to be.
Yeah.
Able to, I'm sorry, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor
yeah,
Lawrence,
there's
yeah.
There's no way you're going to be, even as hard as you try to be bad, if Brian Hoyer is your quarterback, yeah. You're never going to get down to
tank.
That spot.
I choose to believe this great vote of confidence in Jared Stidham means he's going to be good. That's what I choose to believe.
It means they think he's going to be good.
No, I choose to believe that, well, I as they evaluate talent, that means he will be good.
Fourth-round picks have done well. I'll just use Dak Prescott for an example. They have done well in the league and plugged and played right away. I still think the Cam Newton thing's on the table. I do.
He doesn't fit this offense at all.
It's fine. I'm telling you.
Poor to awful in the last two or three years.
Look what Cam Newton has done with less at receiver. He's gone to a Super Bowl.
That was when he had his full mobility. Yep. He was at the height of his powers and hadn't taken all those hits.
He had foot surgery. Maybe he's rehabbing. He might be feeling the best he ever has.
I think there's a reason why no one sniffed around him. I think it is weird that Joe Flacco with a broken neck
can get a job and Cam Newton can't. There's something to that.
I agree.
I still think there's a connection to the Patriots and Cam Newton.
Somebody said, wasn't Brady standoffish with Stidham last year because he saw him as a threat? I never saw that. Did you guys? That's something that I didn't notice. I just noticed Tom Brady being like Moody Moose Buttons.
Well, I mean, like he was standoffish with Garoppolo too. I mean, it wasn't. I don't think.
But
it's
that
a Stidham
that
thing.
Well, that was because that was a legitimate threat. Like that's somebody. The Stidham thing. I didn't see that as a problem. All right, 617-779-0985. Coming up, we got the stack and some more details are coming out about the launch of this NBA season, including more about the potential home court advantage that they're thinking about giving teams, such as extra fouls and the like. We'll go over a few of those right after this.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.95 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And, John, you got us a sponsor, right?
The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation, Rich. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Well, this was just awesome news yesterday when it was announced that the NBA's Board of Governors, they intend to approve a 22-team format to restart the season July 31st at Walt Disney World. The conference call and the vote is set for 12:30 today, but, I mean, according to all reports, everything is expected to fly through. 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams, 8 regular season games for each of them, and a possible play-in tournament for the 8th seed. The way that they had it set up is that if you are the 9th seed and you are less than 4 games behind the 8th seed, there's going to be a mini tournament. So basically 8 and 9 will play each other. If 8 wins, then 9's out of it, and 8's going to be the 8 seed. But if 9 wins, then they get to play one more game, and that's sudden death. That seems fair. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's basketball. On top of that, it's going to be a situation where you've got, according to the dude that we had on with us, the Disney guy, he said that. Yeah, what's his name again?
Keith Smith.
Yeah, I want to give him credit because he knew a lot what he's talking about, because not only is he right for the NBA, but he was a dude who, you know, was an Imagineer, or what do they call it, a cast member at Disney for years. Yes. And he said, according to his sources, that regular season games, a total of 88 of them, because they have to have that between all the teams, the plan for now is to play in 2 different arenas, multiple games a day, March Madness style. So you're going to have the playoffs, once they start, being 2 to 4 games per day for the early rounds, and 1 to 2 games afterwards. And I was saying earlier, Joe Murray is going to be just in hog heaven. Like, that is that is better's paradise when you got 4 games a day.
And not to mention, Vegas just opened last night. And it's already packed, Rich. Like, I've already been retweeting pictures today. Like, people are ready to go. They're probably already betting on Korean soccer, Korean baseball that's going on right now.
I've got money on Korean soccer tonight. I don't even know what I bet on. That's right, you do.
You get we over 2.5 tonight. And I have no clue the name of the team.
I don't either, but just, hey, go 3 goals.
But, yeah, dude, this is going to be great. And especially, like, I don't know, this is going to be fun. Like, I don't know if people will, like, run to the casino or whatever to bet on this, but, like, locally, I'm going to watch all these games. You mentioned the tournament style, like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I'd love it if there was a game at, like, you know, noon, 3 p.m., 7, and then a nightcap. Like, that'd be great. 3-4 games a day. Like, you know, we'll be betting on it, but I bet you we watch every single game because there's importance in all of them.
Joe, there's not many things, and you've done this before too. I don't know if John ever has, but if you've ever done March Madness in Vegas, it's
no,
it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, you sit down, and I told you guys how, you know, I get there super early and I want a good seat and I do that. But I mean, from the moment the basketball starts, it's better than actually being at the game. When you are in a massive room full of people and there's games just all over and screens and everyone there has money on the game, it's electric. And it's so much damn fun because the whole time, as Joe's been talking about, you can place these little bets all throughout the game, halftime, over, under, everything, all that kind of stuff. And it nothing beats it. This is it. You're going to get this. What you lost out on March Madness, the first two rounds of the playoffs, you're doing four games a day. Oh, my God. It's paradise. It's a dream come true, Joe Murray. And this sounds like something that, you know, despite the pandemic, I have a feeling that you've been taking a look at Expedia, trying to figure out if there's any kind of fast track out there to maybe enjoy yourself.
Yes, and listen, I know New Hampshire's got that outside dining already, so I can just cruise right up there, pop in the app, you know.
Hey, Rich, we might have a little bit of breaking news here, and it has to do with Drew Brees, who issued an apology this morning on Instagram, well-worded for his comments two nights ago, or last night. We have a response from one of his teammates this morning on CNN, DeMario Davis, who is a starting linebacker and will be part of that Zoom conference call this morning, a team meeting for the New Orleans Saints. But DeMario Davis been a teammate of Brees's for a while. He was on CNN this morning.
All right, Dan, do you have that clip?
Hearing Drew's apology, and that's the first, you know, I heard it. I think that is a form of true leadership. And I would say it because that's taking ownership. What we had hoped the first time was that Drew would elaborate more on racism and the sentiments of the black community. He admitted he missed the mark. So for him to come out and say, you know, I missed the mark, I've been insensitive, but what I'm going to start doing is listening and learning from the black community and finding ways that I can help them.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's and that is obviously something that, I mean, everyone has a right to feel the way that they do. But, I mean, I'm just going to take it from him because he kind of echoed the sentiments I had this morning, and that is that if you truly want people to change their minds on things, when they say, I'm willing to listen, then be there for them. Because hopefully someone else heard what Drew Brees said and said, you know what, I never really opened my ears, and now I know what you're saying, and I'm willing to listen, then take them at their word. And you know what? Call them out if they don't. But give them the chance to change. Because if you don't do that, then that's, you're looking for exactly what Drew Brees did. Someone's opinion on the subject to go from uneducated to educated. And don't shoot down somebody when they make that attempt to do so.
And Davis, he's entering his third year as a starting linebacker for New Orleans. So this isn't a guy who just got there. This is a guy who's been in a locker room with Brees. He started all 16 games each of the last two seasons.
Yeah, so good for him. I thought that was a great statement, and we'll see. Not everyone's got the right to feel the way they want to feel. I just, in my opinion, that seems to be the way. I mean, if you're looking for change, that was an example of someone saying, "I'm willing to listen and I want to change." And if that happens, you know, let them do that. Let them at least attempt to be what, you know, we all hope that they will become. So. There you go, as I get all mush mouth because we've talked about so many weird things and we awkwardly transitioned to the NBA playoffs to that, and now we're going to go back to another stupid list or something like that. So that's because
that's how talented you are, Dan.
That's what we do.
Just real quick on this, I mentioned this to Wallach off the air, but Jameis Winston signed a deal with the Saints this year. It was a short deal, a bet on himself.
Yeah.
And I just for a minute, I was thinking about, like, could there be a divide in the locker room where people were like, you know, this is a guy that started in the league, threw for 5,000 yards last year. Granted, he threw 30 interceptions, but, like, you know, he's going to quarterback school here with Sean Payton, and just, I'm glad that he got out in front of this. I really am, because maybe he is the poster child of the guy who wants to listen, and maybe this is the thing to really kind of, you know, get other people to spread awareness, Rich. And to
be honest, I think that and the players seem, at least the players. Who was the clip from that we just played?
DeMario Davis.
Okay. I mean, he seems to be giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I think from the public persona, Drew deserves it. Like, he hasn't done anything. He doesn't have a reputation.
No, that's a really good sign, what Davis just said. I'm sure he's not the only one that feels that way. That is a very good sign. And the apology came before the team meeting today. I think him getting out ahead of this, is, as Joe just said, before the team meeting, it was at 8:30 this morning, much earlier Central Time. It showed that he wanted to make sure that he spoke about this quickly and it immediately realized his mistake. And that is what a leader does. So good for Breeze, and I'm sure it's good for New Orleans as well.
All right. Well, there's people, obviously, who are getting passionate for reasons that are important, and then there's things like this, me getting way too passionate about something that's completely stupid. And that is that the AP has released their top 25 sports films of all time. Now, this is done by voting amongst many of their writers. And they have compiled them in order. First of all, I think that I don't want to say they got number one right, but I think number one is worthy. It's one of, in my opinion, one of the all-time great sports movies. Even if you don't think it's number one, I don't know how you can disagree that this isn't a great film. And number one, I'll go ahead and give it to you. It's Hoosiers.
It should be. It was on again last night. It was great.
See, yeah. Hoosiers is like one of my all-time favorite movies that I haven't seen in a decade. Like, I haven't seen it in forever. But I just remember I saw it when I was a kid. And even when I was a kid, I knew it was great. And then I saw it years later, and I kind of understood more about it. Like, I realized, you know, what was going on with Dennis Hopper, the drunk father, and all that. Like, you know, when I just saw it, I just thought he was just – I didn't quite get some of the strange – like, the subtleties when you're, you know, however old I was. Like, you know, 7 years old. But – man, what a great movie. And Gene Hackman is just the best in that film. So number one is Hoosiers. Now I start having problems. Any guesses to what else is in the top 10 here on the list? Best right. AP's best sports movies of all time.
Rocky.
Yeah, that's got to be.
Okay, Rocky is tied for number two. I understand it, and I know why they put this there, but I've said this so many times. The original Rocky is a great film. It's one of the least watchable Rocky films right now.
Now it is.
Like, it's now if it you've is. Seen it once, it's not one you can't wait to rush back and watch again. I'll say it a million times. Rocky IV might be the most rewatchable sports movie ever. All it's right. like a candy. Like, you turn it on and you're like, ah! I mean, you're not turning the channel when Rocky IV comes on. One of the – and like – and you, listen, it actually brought apart – it ended the Cold
War. If I can change.
That's right.
And you can change.
We можете измениться.
Everybody can change.
Rocky IV is my number one sports movie. Rocky IV is in my top five movies.
I got you.
I love Rocky IV.
And let's not forget, they're having a Rocky documentary that's coming out soon.
Yes.
Which I am pumped. And it's,
I'm very excited.
Sylvester Stallone will be narrating it as well.
And it's not like a joke. It's really about the Rocky films?
It's about him and how his best friend is a character that Sylvester Stallone's best friend is a character he made up 40 years ago. And there's even behind the scenes stuff on it. It's going to be outstanding.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Any guesses? Rocky's tied for number two.
I have two immediately. If we're going to go Rocky that high, Raging Bull has to be there and Caddyshack has to be there.
Raging Bull number seven, Caddyshack number four. I think both of them are worthy of being
top 10.
I'm going
to go Remember the Titans.
Remember Titans number 18 on the list.
How about Bull Durham?
Tied for number two. Bull Durham is fine. Like, I don't know. Like, if Costner's in a sports movie.
He's upset that I got it, and he's upset it's ranked so high.
Yeah, well, I'm not upset that you got it. I'm upset that it's ranked so high. I'm upset with you that you liked Bull Durham so much.
What was wrong with Bull Durham?
Bull Durham was
If you don't like Kevin Costner, then that's fine. Is a good movie.
Kevin Costner in Westerns is all right. Like, you know what? And I love The Untouchables. The Untouchables is a great movie. Like, I love The Untouchables. But Bull Durham was, I don't know, it's fine, but just to be put at number two.
The whole
like ahead of Caddyshack, really?
Yeah, well, it's fine, but it's
how about ahead of number five, Slapshot? Which I'll concede, Slapshot is, to me, half of a great movie. I think every scene that's got the Hansen brothers rules. I think every scene that's got the goalie in it absolutely rules. And I think that pretty much everything else is fine. Like, the rest of it's just kind of fine. I didn't like the curly-haired dude. The Paul Newman character wasn't even that great. But the Hansen brothers were so unbelievable that alone it should be top five. So I have no problem with that part of it. Number six is as corny of a film that should be thrown in the toilet ever. And this is something that I'm sure Dan Roach is going to call and get angry at me for. But this, you want to talk about corny movies. Number six nails it.
The Sandlot?
Field of Dreams.
Oh, God.
What?
Not top 10.
I have problems with that movie.
Not top 10.
No. Like real problems or no, like just, it I makes mean, me cry
I
don't problems?
Think, I believe Joe D. bats right-handed in that movie. I don't believe he was a right-handed batter.
No, no,
I love you so dirty.
Sorry, not dirty. What did I just call? Shoeless Joe Jackson. Holy crap, where did I go with Joe
D on
that?
He's a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, but why is he batting right-handed?
Because the actor bats right-handed.
God,
that's why.
I went Yankees on you there.
That movie, it's like if they could have handed out lemons and jammed them into your eyes.
People will come, Ray. They will come.
Oh, it's so
How about The Natural? Where's that?
It's number eight, which is corny, too.
Natural's
it's tied for
right.
No, Natural's really good.
But that's corny that worked for me.
Yeah.
Like, there's corny where you know that they're trying to manipulate you. Is this heaven? Or is, no, man. It's Indiana.
One of the highlights of my youth was actually going to the ballpark where they filmed that.
Well, it's up in Buffalo. Some youth. And then you've got tied at number eight, Major League, which is great. I still love Major League.
I love Major League, too. It's one of my favorite movies. But
then it goes number 10, A League of Their Own, which was fine. Number 11 is Moneyball, a movie about something that failed. Why that movie is given any kind of credit for being, wow, this dude's a genius. Dude, they failed.
Dude, they didn't even win.
I know, Moneyball didn't work. Why make a movie about it? And it wasn't even that great of a film. I mean, Brad Pitt was fine.
All right, I have questions on a couple of movies. Rudy? I'd like to know.
Rudy's number 18, tied for 18. That Rudy was obviously a good movie.
How about Miracle?
Miracle's number 12. Yeah. Great. Okay.
Miracle deserves to be way higher. Field of Dreams deserves to be way lower.
Hey, man, one of the biggest disappointments was that I sat my son down to watch Miracle because I thought he was of that age. He was around the age that I first saw Hoosiers. And I'm like, here we go. We're going to watch Miracle. And I sat him down to watch it. And dude couldn't have been like more. And he loves hockey. He didn't care. He was like, all right, man, whatever. And I'm like, dude, this speech is about to be great. He's like, yeah, fine. And he didn't care at all. You know what's not on this list in the top 25, and it was the director of Miracle, and you want to talk about an underrated sports movie, is a film called Warrior, and it's a UFC movie, and it's got Tom Hardy and Nick Nolte is the father who's a drunk, and the two brothers have to fight each other. If you have not seen Warrior, see it today. There aren't many movies that I can recommend and know that I'll almost get 100% yep, that ruled rate. That's one of them. I only have one other, and that's The King of Kong.
Just curious,
but Warrior rules.
Just curious if Hoop Dreams on that list at all.
Number 14 on the list. Very good. Hoop Dreams comes in at number 14.
And The Fighter, is that on there? I don't know if the movie from the guys from Lowell.
Fighter not on there. It goes Eight Men Out, which was
Eight
awesome.
Men Out's my favorite sports movie by far.
So good. That's a great movie. Chariots of Fire, boring as hell. Number 16. White Men Can't Jump lost its steam after the first 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes should be put in a museum. It's so good. And then after that, it's awful. Remember the Titans? That was pretty good. That was number 18. Rudy tied for 18. Seabiscuit.
I didn't think that was bad.
I thought it was okay.
All right.
It's not top 25 sports movies. What are we talking about?
What about Blue Chips? Where's that?
Oh, yeah.
You see, I loved Blue Chips. Not on here. And by the way, Burt Breer, I always see constantly defending the movie The Program on Twitter. Program's a good movie.
I love The Program.
Tin Cup? Is Tin Cup on there somewhere?
No, thank God.
We all know how much everyone loves Tin Cup.
Yeah, Tin Cup's, that was not a good one. Once again, Kevin Costner, sports movie. As Joe Murray would say, out.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.